Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. The Lakers lost Game 5. They end up getting blown out. And it's now a 3-2 series lead coming back to LA. Before we get into it, there was a lot of talk last night and this morning about Anthony Davis and his head injury that he sustained, whether or not it was a concussion or not. News has come out today that he will be able to play, so that's great news. There was some worry that if he sustained a concussion, he would have to go into concussion protocols, and that could have him out up to a week or so, maybe more, depending on just how he recovers and whatnot. So it's looking like Anthony Davis will play no matter what in Game 6, which is tremendous news, because you know, not only losing Game 5, but then potentially losing Anthony Davis could have been a huge loss for the Lakers, who are trying to close out the series. So Lakers end up losing 121 to 106, just a tough game. We were in it up through like almost to the end of the second quarter. The Lakers were playing well. We were in the game. It was a close game. I was over at my parents' house and when the game started, and I was listening on the radio on the way home, and it sounds like the Lakers had gotten down to an early deficit, like a 12-point deficit, and then made a little bit of a comeback and had a pretty good comeback where it was like, you know, going back and forth, like 45 to 43, 45 to 45, 48 to 45. When I got home, I walked in and turned the TV on, and it was 54 to 54. I'm like, all right, we're keeping it up. We're looking good. And I went and I took the baby to go change her diaper, and came back and looked at the TV, and the Lakers were down like 7 or 8. Like, oh gosh, here we go. And the Lakers just could not close out that second quarter and go into halftime close. They ended up going to halftime down 11 points. We got within like 5 and then gave up 2 threes. Couldn't get anything going offensively. Steph Curry hit a buzzer beater 3 to go up 11. So that was tough. And then the second half, the Lakers just couldn't really get any stops defensively. We offensively looked tired. Things were tough for us. Looking at the box score, Anthony Davis finished the game with 23 points in 32 minutes. So a good Anthony Davis game. He didn't have any blocks. So that was the second game in a row where Anthony Davis had 0 blocks, which he's, you know, as you've been, if you've been following, know that he's had a ton of blocks in these playoffs, and his defense has been tremendous. But Golden State has done a really good job at keeping Anthony Davis away from the basket and away from anyone cutting to the basket. LeBron James finished with a team-high 25 points. D'Angelo Russell, a slow start, but ended up with 15 points. Austin Reeves, 15 points. And then Dennis Schroeder had 14 off the bench. So not a whole lot of scoring for the Lakers on the offensive side of things. LeBron James, 3 for 7 from 3. He started off the game, I think, 3 for 3. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those games. When I was listening on the radio, I think Steph had missed like 3 or 4 threes in the time I'd been listening. LeBron hit 3 threes in a row. And I was like, oh, it's going to be, it's gonna, this is good. Lakers might close it out. We might win the series in 5 games, but obviously that did not happen. On the other side for the Warriors, Steph had 27, Wiggins had 25, a huge Draymond Green game with 20 points. Klay Thompson added in 10, Gary Payton 13, and then Jordan Poole had 11 off the bench. So some good scoring for the Warriors, where the Lakers just couldn't get anything, just couldn't get any stops. Like, we couldn't stop Andrew Wiggins. We couldn't get stop Steph Curry. And, you know, I hate to be one of those guys that complains about refereeing in games, because the Lakers did enough on their own poorly to lose the game on their own. But there were quite a lot of plays where there's one in particular that I'm thinking of that happened in, I think, the fourth quarter, early on in the fourth quarter. The Lakers were trying to make a comeback. They're down like 16 or something. And Lakers did end up getting the game within like 9 points at one point in the fourth quarter. So, you know, just because this is an 18-point game, it doesn't mean the game was over or anything by any means. And LeBron James is driving to the basket and gets hit by Steph Curry on the way to the basket. And then Andrew Wiggins bumps up onto him. And then LeBron jump stops, gets hit by Andrew Wiggins again, gets hit by someone else like Kevon Looney maybe. And LeBron goes up and makes the layup and scores. But anyone else, they're calling the foul on Steph before he even gets to the basket, you know? Same thing with Anthony Davis. Before Anthony Davis got hit in the head by Kevon Looney, there was multiple times where he's driving to the basket and you see Draymond Green or Kevon Looney literally have their hands on his shoulders as he's trying to go to the basket, trying to go up to the rim, trying to keep him down from getting up there. And it's just like, that stuff, like, you can't ignore that stuff. And some people had some things to say on Twitter regarding Anthony Davis's injury, which, if you didn't see, he was going for, well, D'Angelo Russell was driving to the basket. D'Angelo Russell, as the ball was going into the hoop, Kevon Looney is coming in to try and get the defensive rebound, and he's, you know, he's lifting his arm up and kind of, in theory, trying to box out Anthony Davis, and, you know, swings his forearm up in the air and connects with Anthony Davis on the side of the head. And so Anthony Davis was slow to kind of like get up. He didn't get back on defense, and then he ends up exiting the game. He ends up exiting like out to the tunnel, through the tunnel. And there's reports on the on TV saying that he's experiencing dizziness and all these types of things, that he had to get wheelchaired, taken in a wheelchair back to the locker room. Things where it sounds like he definitely got a concussion. And anyways, people were saying that, you know, the way that the refs were kind of calling the game, or lack thereof, so to speak, it's kind of was allowing for that kind of physicality, where Kevon Looney, you know, he wasn't trying to elbow or hit Anthony Davis with his forearm in the face, but it happened regardless because he's being physical. And, you know, I like having some aspect of physicality in the game, right? Like, I don't like ticky-tack foul calls. I'm somewhere in the middle, you know, when I talk about like the drive LeBron James had, the example I gave. You know, some of me is, part of me is like, okay, that bump that Steph had initially, that's fine. You know, but as he's going to the basket and trying, like, I think for me it's more like as players are trying to shoot the ball or make a layup or get the ball in the basket, if the defender's doing something that's, you know, keeping him from doing it, where that's anything more than just jumping straight up and down or, you know, connecting with all ball or whatever, then you should call a foul because you're taking away an opportunity to score points. And LeBron James scored on that play, but like it should have been an and one for sure. But there is some truth to the way a game is called and the physicality and what is allowed to happen and stuff. And the physicality that's allowed against Anthony Davis is kind of extreme. If you really go and watch, right, you see Draymond Green or Kevon Looney like grabbing at his shoulders, or you know, in theory making it look like they're going for the ball, but they end up like hitting him in the arm or hitting him in the shoulders or you know, hitting him in the head or things like that. And people are quick to criticize Anthony Davis for being soft or whatever, but you know, yeah, I'm an Anthony Davis fan. I want the best for Anthony Davis. And there are times where he doesn't do himself good in the sense that, like, he can be dramatic. You know, he'll, like, think back to game one against Memphis. He gets hit in the shoulder, and he's grabbing his shoulder and, like, bending down, and he's going, talking to the bench, like, I can't feel, he's, like, saying, I can't move my arm. And you see that on TV. You see that as an announcer or a reporter, and you're like, he must have dislocated his shoulder. he can't move his arm. But like I know, like when I was playing basketball, there was a couple times where I would get hit in the funny bone or get a dead arm, and like my arm would kind of like freeze up. Like that's happened to me before, so I know exactly what Anthony Davis is going through in that moment. And it's a little shocking for sure, but he does play it up a little bit. He's a little dramatic, so he doesn't do himself good, kind of like the boy that cries wolf almost. And so people don't want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if you're, driving, if you're playing basketball, driving to the basket, and people are grabbing at you and pulling you down and hitting you and bumping you and things like that, like I would be pissed off also. I would be upset. I would be mad. I would, it's just not like a safe way to play the game, And people might say like, oh, well, when basketball was great in the 80s or the 90s or whatever, things were more physical, even in the 2000s. And yeah, the game has definitely become a little bit more regulated today than it was back in the 80s. Like common fouls back in the 80s are pretend like if you did that today, you would probably potentially get kicked out of the game, get like a flagrant two or something. So, I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Like some physicality is good, but a little too much, and you allow for things like this to happen where guys get hit in the head. And I tweeted this where it's like it's kind of an interesting play where because the ball's going in as the as Kevon Looney hits Anthony Davis in the face, there's no foul call. But had the ball missed or had the shot missed or the layup missed, then maybe they would call a loose ball foul. If any other aspect of the game, if someone's raising their arms up and hitting a guy in the face to the point where he's, feeling dizzy or whatever, then and the thing is, like, I'm gonna do what most of media, like the national media, won't do, and I'll give Anthony Davis the benefit of the doubt. Like if he felt dizzy, if he says he felt dizzy, then I believe that he felt dizzy. He ended up not having a concussion, so that's good news. So then people are probably like, oh, well, he's just, being dramatic and playing it up and blah 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 blah. It's sure that's a possibility, but if he says he felt dizzy, if the medical staff for the Lakers thought the best way of getting a 6'11 dizzy guy back to the locker room is in a wheelchair, that makes sense to me. But in any other aspect of the game, if a guy's, hitting someone else in the face with his forearm, it's usually going to be called a foul, assuming the referees see it. But in this play in particular, where the ball is going in, it's kind of just like an inadvertent play that just happens. But worst case scenario, it results in a concussion for Anthony Davis. The thing is, like, if Anthony Davis was shooting the ball and that happened, they would be reviewing it for a flagrant foul. But because he's going for the rebound and it happens, no call. So it's one of those weird things with basketball where, like, I get it. I get why things like that aren't called. But as it was happening, the ball was like just starting to go in if you really slow it down. But it hadn't technically gone in yet. So, like, there's a chance in theory that it could miss and it could be a could or should be a loose ball foul. So anyways, just a weird nuance with basketball in that sense where, if Anthony Davis is trying to shoot the ball or go up for a layup and Kevon Looney hits him in the face like that, it's a flagrant foul, most likely flagrant one probably, because I don't think Kevon Looney did it on purpose. But there's just a there was an openness to physicality in the game, at least on the Lakers side of the court, like the Lakers being on when the Lakers had the ball, where the Warriors were definitely given a lot of leeway to be physical. And if it's called both ways, then it is what it is. It's frustrating, right? It's frustrating to see your players getting hit in the head and falling down, all these things, and foul calls not being called. And then of course, like the NBA conspiracy, like at least Laker fans conspiracy are like, well, Steve Kerr was just complaining about the Lakers being good, good gamesmanship and like flopping and all these things. And it's kind of turning into this, like, people are going back and forth and whatnot, and you kind of get the gist. Like, maybe the refs were trying to play and, not play into the Lakers' hands in that sense, and they were just being extra tough on the Lakers and not calling certain flops and stuff. And not to say that they were flopping, but just anything that should have been a foul wasn't being called. So for someone that says I don't like to complain about the refs, that was a long rant of me complaining about the refs. Again, not. We had a it was a a better 3-point shooting game from the Warriors, but still not great. They shot 37%, 13 for 35. They ended up this game, more so than any other game, the Warriors shot way more 2-pointers. They had 92 overall attempts. Only 35 of those were 3-pointers. They went 13 for 35. Lakers only got 87 attempts. They went 42 for 87, 10 for 27 from three. So Lakers actually shot the same from three as the Warriors percentage-wise. The Warriors still made three more threes. The Lakers shot slightly worse from the field. They just got less attempts. And then the free throws were even. Lakers went 12 for 15. Well, not even, they're even in attempts. Lakers only made 12. 12 of 15, and the Warriors made 14 of 15. So you have three more threes, two more, I think, assuming two more, like 2-pointers, and then two more made free throws, and they end up winning 121 to 106. It was, the Lakers kind of made a push at the end, but just wasn't quite enough, especially once Anthony Davis went out. It was kind of, you figured the writing was on the wall and that the Warriors were going to end up pulling away and getting the win, which they did. So, yeah, the big story again, of course, was Anthony Davis, which we've touched on. It was the physicality, at least from the Lakers fan side of things. We were definitely pretty upset about the physicality that was being allowed against LeBron and Anthony Davis and the rest of the team. But ultimately, like, I don't know, it's just tough when Austin Reeves is go he goes 5 for 12. D'Angelo Russell, I mean, he went 6 for 10. Like, it's decent, but just tough. It didn't get a whole lot of bench scoring. You know, we got the 14 from Dennis Schroeder, but you know, only got 4 points from Rui Hachimura in 21 minutes. Only got 4 points from Lonnie Walker in 28 minutes. This is one of those things. This is something that Darvin Ham does a lot, where Lonnie Walker had a huge fourth quarter in game four, right? We talked about it in the last episode. He virtually won the game for the Lakers in game four with his fourth quarter performance, which was great. It makes sense, like I talked about also in the previous episode, that Lonnie Walker gets playing time against this team because he has fresher legs, he's quick, he's a guard. He can in theory guard Steph and Jordan Poole and those guys. And he can kind of yeah, just match the energy that the Warriors give. But Darvin Ham does this where, and he did this during the regular season. I remember, I forget exactly the game, but I remember this happening where Lonnie Walker had a big game in one of the games, and then in the next game we were playing a team where we needed a little more size, and for whatever reason he gave Lonnie a ton of minutes, and Rui Hachimura had a DNP, didn't play that game at all. And we're sitting there like, why is Rui not getting any playing time? We need the size. Like, I forget to feel like Anthony Davis wasn't playing that game or what the situation was. I think LeBron was still out, and we're like, we need the size. Like, Rui, at least give him some minutes, see what he can do. But he gave like a ton of minutes to Lonnie Walker, kind of rewarding him for the good play that he had in the game before. I feel like we kind of got that a little bit with him in game five, where did he really need to play 28 minutes? I don't know. Like, especially he was, you know, he went 2 for 6, 0 for 2 from 3, only 4 points. Like, just not great. Rui Hachimura going down the list. Rui Hachimura and Dennis Schroeder were the only ones that had a positive plus minus. Dennis Schroeder was plus 14. And he also had 14 points, so there you go. And then Rui Hachimura was plus 7. So the only two positive players and plus minus for the Lakers were those two guys. Just a tough game overall. It sucked going into in the second quarter, thinking like the Lakers have a chance to close out the series and just be done, because you just don't want to toy around with the Warriors. You know, I'll talk about this in a second, talking about game six, but I don't know. You just there. I don't know. I just don't like risking things, especially when Anthony Davis went down. It's like, this is why you don't mess around. This is why you just go in, get the business done, and win games. I get that's easier said than done, but had Anthony Davis, had the news been bad, had he turned out to be concussed and not able to play game six, then the Lakers are in a real tough spot. But had they been able to just execute, take care of stuff in game five. It's not like the Warriors shot incredible. They got the Lakers out of position defensively. They're getting to the basket. They were using Andrew Wiggins on the screen and roll. Andrew Wiggins was kind of unlocked his offense. So that's a little worrisome going into game six. And the Lakers just couldn't match it offensively. They couldn't, they weren't, they just weren't executing offensively, getting, they missed, you know, there, some of them are just missed shots, which happens. But when you have Anthony Davis, like, I mean, I know he exited the game early, like in this, I don't know, it was like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, but like the majority of the game, you have Anthony Davis, like, just, I don't know, it's frustrating. And Anthony Davis wasn't, I mean, he had 23 points, but like, there was a ton of plays where he's like driving against Kevon Looney and lets Kevon Looney just poke the ball out and get a steal, you know, things like that. We're just like, come on, man, let's get locked in and win the game, because it's just, you just don't want to mess with this team. So like looking ahead to game six, which is tomorrow night, we will have Anthony Davis, thankfully. I guess if you're looking on the positive side of things, Anthony Davis only played 32 minutes in game five. He left the game early, so he got a little more rest maybe. So I guess that's a positive spin on it. The thing is that I'm just worried about with the Warriors is they've shown I have two there's two things. On the positive side of things, they've been a terrible road team. They I forget I don't I, let's see if I can pull it up what their road record was. I don't know if I can. Stats maybe. I don't know. But their road record was pretty abysmal. They won like 10 games on the road or something. Something just terrible. So they're not a good road team. So in that sense, I feel good about myself. But then you think about the way the Warriors can shoot, right? Like we saw in game two where they shot 50% from three. It's like you unleash Klay and Steph. If they go off from three, if Jordan Poole adds in, Andrew Wiggins, if they just shoot that good from three, the Lakers, they're gonna have a tough time winning that game. And they haven't really done it on the road, but who's to say that it won't happen, you know? In theory, the trend for the Warriors has been worse 3-point shooting since game two. So hopefully that trend continues. It did spike up a little bit. Last game they shot a little better, but they're playing at home and whatever. So we'll see what happens. I'm gonna take a quick break and then we'll get more into game six. So looking at game six, you know, like I mentioned before, I took the break. You know, the Warriors can just go off at any moment from three, which is a little nerve-wracking. But again, they haven't been a good road team. So, and the Lakers have been good at home this postseason. They haven't lost a game at home, dating back to at least the play-in game against Minnesota. So, in that sense, you know, those types of things are looking good for the Lakers. The thing that is not looking good for the Lakers is the stupid corgi. Have you guys seen that video? There's this corgi that has predicted, I don't know, its owner makes these videos where it predicts games and series and stuff, and it predicted that the Lakers, it's gotten everyone right so far. It predicted the Lakers going up 3-1. Not only did it predict the Lakers going up 3-1, but it got every game right. Like the Lakers would win game one, lose game two, win game three, win game four, lose game five. And they have it has the corgi or the corgi has the Warriors winning in seven. So don't love that. My superstitious self just sees that for some reason and thinks that it's, you know, there's some meaning behind it or something's gonna work. But I don't know. I feel uneasy going into game six. I feel good, and I mean, I feel good that that Anthony Davis will play. That's number one. I feel good about how the Lakers have played at home in the playoffs. I feel good about how the Warriors have played on the road, both during the season and in the playoffs. The chance to close out a series at home is a great position to be in. The Lakers were able to, they didn't get blown out as bad as they did in game five against the Grizzlies, where they were just able to rest LeBron and Anthony Davis pretty much the entire fourth quarter. But they did end up kind of waving the white flag eventually and giving them some rest. So like Anthony Davis or LeBron James played 39 minutes, I think. So still kind of a lot, but he played the most on the team. Austin Reaves at 36 minutes. Yeah, so that's a positive kind of. They didn't play 40 plus minutes. But yeah, I mean, I think it just comes down, like the Lakers haven't really done a great job in game four. This was true. I mean, they had the blowout in game three. In game two, this was definitely true, where they just could not stop the pick and roll. Like, I mean, 3-point shooting in game two is also really good. But I feel like in general, game four, this was a big problem, where until Lonnie Walker came up in the fourth quarter and started hitting some shots, the Lakers just like couldn't get a stop and couldn't hit a shot, which is a huge problem in basketball, obviously. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a broken record, but that's just kind of the key to the game is limit 3-pointers, limit, or at least find a way to stop the pick and roll. And I mean, the Warriors are great at adjusting, and I will say it comes down, I think a lot of this is kind of just the way playoff basketball has worked, where like, we always talk about like game four is always a dogfight because game one and game two, you're kind of feeling things out, making adjustments. Game three, depending on who wins and loses, you make a little more adjustments. Game four, you've made your adjustments. You've seen each other three times. So it's a little more of a dogfight. You're a little more tired. Shots aren't maybe falling quite as well as they were at the beginning of the series. And then for the Lakers, right, like they had won two games in a row. So in their minds, like, yeah, there's things to adjust for sure, but maybe nothing like crazy, right? Like maybe some in-game adjustments, but we're not gonna like switch things up too much because what we've been doing has worked. So Lakers won two games in a row and they come out in game five and they're on the road and they lose the game, which I think most people, myself included, were kind of expecting that the Lakers would end up losing game five. So now that the Lakers have lost, they are kind of, even though they're up 3-2 still, their backs are against the wall a little more, right? Like you don't want a game seven in San Francisco. You don't want to go on the road in a game seven. You want to close things out at home. So even though the Lakers still have two more chances to win one game, their backs are against the wall a little more in game six. You just want to close it out. You don't want to mess around with things. You just want to win the game, be done with it. And so in that sense, they're forced to really make a little more adjustments, whether it's moving who Anthony Davis is covering, whether it's just really being good about switching all screens. If it's I think a lot of times it's really the weak side defender that is getting kind of lost, I've noticed a few times, maybe not every time, but a few times, right? Where let's say Austin Reaves is covering Steph Curry and Anthony Davis is covering Andrew Wiggins and LeBron's on Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins goes to set a screen for Steph Curry. So it brings Anthony Davis up. Let's say Anthony Davis and Austin Reaves switch and Austin Reaves is on Andrew Wiggins. Anthony Davis is on Steph Curry. And then you have D'Angelo Russell on like Gary Payton II and LeBron on Draymond Green. One of those two guys, LeBron or D'Lo, is kind of getting lost in the pick and roll action and letting Gary Payton or Draymond cut weak side, back door, and getting open layups. It's happened a bunch of times. And that's why, I mean, that Draymond Green had 20 points in game five. Draymond Green is not that type of player anymore. He is not a 20-point guy. And so the thing is, like with the Warriors, is they have all these adjustments and these plays and stuff where they kind of like just mess around with depending on who's guarding who. a certain player will plug into a certain spot in the offense depending on who they're covered by. And in this case, we've kind of pulled Anthony Davis off of Draymond Green. So now Draymond Green gets plugged into a different spot and he's got a bunch of open baskets and layups and whatnot. So defensively is where the Lakers are going to win this series because their offense is good. I mean, LeBron and Anthony Davis can get things done when they really need to, but they, you know, I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of fatigue with them. They're kind of deferring to D'Lo and Austin Reeves and Dennis Schroeder a little more than they probably should, or at least I would like to see them. So I think defensively is where we're going to win the series, right? Like if we can, we just didn't really have any good defensive quarters in game five. You know, looking back at the box score, our best defensive quarter was holding the Warriors to 23 points in the third quarter, in which we also only scored 23 points. We were down 32 to 28 after one. And then in the third or the second quarter, remember I was talking about how the Lakers were keeping it close and then things got away at the end. The Lakers scored 31 points in the second quarter, which was their highest scoring quarter. And, you know, 31 points in a quarter is pretty good. But we gave up 38 points in the second quarter. And you just can't be giving up, you know, 38 points in a quarter. You can't be giving up 33 plus points in a quarter, especially if you're only going to score 31. And in game four, I can't remember if I mentioned this or not, but the Lakers defense held the Warriors to 17 points in the fourth quarter. Lonnie Walker had 15 points. Lonnie Walker had two less points than the entire Warriors team in the fourth quarter. So, and that's kind of been a trend also that we've seen where the Lakers will come out and their defense will just destroy the other team, right? This happened against the Grizzlies when we started off, I think it was game three. We started off game three up 35-9 after one, end up winning in a blowout. This happened against the Timberwolves in the play-in game. It was a dogfight game. Lakers were down big in the third quarter. Things were not looking good. And we held the Timberwolves to, I think it ended up being, I think, 12 points. But it was until Conley made those three free throws at the end. I think it was 9 points in that quarter also. Then we have the 17-point quarter against the Warriors in game four. And again, it's easier said than done. We can't just say like, oh, limit the Warriors who are super high-octane offense where Steph Curry can just go lights out from three and Klay Thompson can go lights out from three or Andrew Wiggins can go lights out from three. Let's hold them to less than 20 points in a quarter. It's a lot easier said than done, but we've done it. You know, so we know that we can do it. And if the Lakers can just manage to step it up defensively for even just one quarter is typically enough. You know, more than one quarter would be great, but if we could just hold them in one quarter, that's huge. And, you know, messes with their rhythm and things like that. So defensively, again, is where the Lakers are going to win this series. And I say this all the time, good defense leads to good offense. So I think the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis is keyed in defensively, LeBron James is keyed in defensively. I mean, the entire team. And it leads to, you know, especially with the Warriors, with they're always, you know, they're shooting so many threes in a game. Those missed threes, when they do miss them, turn into long rebounds. And as long as we can secure those rebounds and not let Kevon Looney or Draymond Green get an offensive rebound, if we can secure those rebounds, those long rebounds turn into easy fast break opportunities, especially when Darvin Ham is running those three guard lineups, right? Like, especially against the Warriors, we've seen a lot of lineups where it's D'Lo, Reeves, Schroeder, Lonnie Walker, D'Lo, Reeves, Lonnie Walker, Schroeder, D'Lo, you know, plug and play, insert those three different guys in a bunch of different lineups, and you can run and gun. You get LeBron James in the fast break, Anthony Davis in the fast break, and it's hard to slow that down. And the Warriors have done a good job at, on the flip side, really pushing the pace and pushing the ball offensively for themselves. So even when the Lakers make a shot, they're inbounding it immediately. They're pushing the ball up. They're trying to get into their actions, into their plays, before the Lakers defense can get set. They know that the Lakers defense is their strongest attribute as a team. And they know that in a half court setting where the Lakers defense is set, it's a lot harder for them to beat the Lakers in those situations, but especially when Anthony Davis is in the game. And when they're pushing the pace like that and they're keeping the Lakers from getting set defensively and they're moving quick and they're setting screens and stuff, it is tough to keep up with that. So the Lakers, not only did they have to push the pace themselves and make shots and make baskets and get layups and points in the paint and all that good stuff, but once they hit a shot, they can't, you know, you hit a three, you hit a layup. Lakers love when they hit a three, they do their little three-point celebration where they have, like, I think it's like three fingers down, pointing to their elbow or whatever. If you hit a three, sure, celebrate quickly, but get your butt back on defense, because the Warriors are pushing the pace. They don't care that you just scored. They're going to go down and try and match it. Or, you know, you hit a two, they're going to, all right, we'll get down there, we'll hit a three. We'll get down there, we'll match the two. And if the Lakers' defense isn't set, then that's a huge disadvantage that the Lakers have. And I think partially why it's also been tough for Anthony Davis defensively. Like, he's been the best defender in these playoffs, not even an argument. But it's been a lot harder for him with, again, they're pulling him away from the basket with these pick and rolls and screens and things like that. But they're also pushing the pace and getting back before, you know, if Anthony Davis is, let's just say, you know, offensively, he's going at Kevon Looney. Let's say he makes a layup. It's tough to be battling against a big man down low, making a layup, and then sprinting back on defense to then try and guard Andrew Wiggins or, you know, insert X player. So it's definitely easier said than done to play good defense against this Warriors team, but we've done it before, and I think we can do it again and close out game six. I think the Lakers win game six, but there are definitely some factors where I'm a little worried about. So thank you all for listening. Go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!